Now we ask Brother Frank. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord our God for his grace and faithfulness, for that what he did already, and for that what he will do tonight. We are counting with his presence, with his help, that today all who need salvation, that they get saved. Those who need healing, that they get healed. Those who need help, that it is given to them. It's of course the day which the Lord has made, the day of salvation, on which all promises have become true. Not only that they are yes and amen, not only that we become partakers of the divine nature, but that it finds fulfillment through us, as written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 20, by us, through us, God fulfills his word. We all know in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias received the promise that John the Baptist shall be born, and he could not believe it. And the angel Gabriel said, "You shall remain dumb until the promise was fulfilled." Until the promise was fulfilled. So, if we cannot yet believe, keep your mouth shut, keep silent, say nothing, until we see the promise fulfilled. Yes. We are greeting all over the world. There were phone calls from everywhere, also from Brother Davi, from Palermo, from Brother Etienne Genton, from Calabrian, Brother Graf, from Switzerland, and from Africa, from everywhere, from South America, from Santiago, everywhere the brethren and sisters are greeting us, and we are greeting all from this place, also from the Congo, in Botswana, everywhere where the word is reaching, there are brothers and sisters who are joined with us and are experiencing their preparation unto the return of the Lord. Then we have also an email from here and from there, a very special one from Armenia. You all know Armenia is a nice country. I've seen Mount Ararat. There, of course, the Ark of Noah stranded. And here one writes us, beloved brother, we believe the word which you are preaching, and we are having part in the great blessings which God gives us. We are listening to the DVDs in the Russian and in the English language, which is being sent to us every month. And we are already waiting longingly for the brochures and for the circular letters. Please greet all our brethren and all our sisters who are gathering there in the mission center in Krefeld. We are joined with you. Just so nice. Yes, we also had an email, I don't have it with me, from, what is it? From the Fiji Islands on the other side of Australia and New Zealand. People are really being called out from all peoples, tongues and nations. And we are also grateful to God that we can have programs. We have programs in Auckland, New Zealand, and there we are reaching the whole region. Then we have a program in Sydney, Australia, and we are reaching again. And then we have the Russian programs. Where is it? From Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan. And then also the programs in the USA and in Canada. And we are just so glad that the word of the Lord is reaching the ends of the earth. Then Brother John from Bucharest is sending greetings. Brother Wallström is sending greetings. Brother, one moment, from the Congo. Now he stays in South Africa. All are sending greetings. Then we have today three brothers in our midst from South America. Our brother Jose, the J in the Spanish language is spoken like a CH. Our brother Jose from Rio. Yes, from Rio de Janeiro. Then we have our brother Marcio from Venezuela. Then we have brother Paulo from the Amazon. Where are our brothers? Yes! Here are our brothers. Just put your earphone down. Come to the front. Come to the front. So that all can see you. And so that the whole world can see you. This is a brother whom I met him in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the hotel Ramat Rachel, at a dinner. We are coming there as a group, and the brother comes to us from the Amazon, and he says, but you are Brother Frank. Then we have our brother here. This is Brother Marcio. This is a special brother who already poured out his heart. And today we had some time, and already yesterday he has the heart on the right place. Yes. And here we have our brother This is Brother Jose. Also, a man after the heart of God. Do you know what really impressed me so much? That they remained in the Word. That they kept the balance in the Word. God bless you in our midst. Very nice, very nice. Yes, we are glad about all brothers. Then we have here preachers from various countries of Europe and also from Africa. Then today we have visit from Sweden, visit from Czech Republic, from Slovakia, even a bus. And I noticed that a number of young people have come with, especially from Slovakia. May God give grace that this day becomes that day where you fully dedicate your lives to the Lord. And also all the young people who are here tonight, whoever wishes to dedicate their lives to the Lord, do not postpone it, but do it today. Namely today, if you hear His voice. Do not harden your heart. Once again, we are greeting all our friends from near and far, all over the earth, wherever they are tuning in now. You all know what it is all about. It is just about that the promises which God has given us in His Word, that they are being believed, that they are being experienced, that by this we are brought into connection with God, walking forward in lockstep, in faith and obedience, and by grace experiencing our preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are, of course, very aware of that in every revival, only those experienced the revival personally. All the others who did not go with the revival, they had nothing of the revival. Be it in the time of Luther, the time of Wesley, in the time of John Smith, in the time of Menno Simos, in the time of Moody, Spurgeon, and who they were. Only who went along with the working of God and who received what God at His time has done, only He had in reality something of it. All the others were criticizing, were rejecting, and such like. Then also the thought came to me, the referring to the Scripture doesn't help anyone except we agree with the Scripture. You know very well, on the great day in the city of Worms, when Martin Luther came on the scene and he said, sola scriptura, only the Scripture, and this was a wonderful statement. But if one then sees that doctrines were taken along who are not in agreement with the Scripture, then we are sad about it. The referring to the Scripture doesn't help anything except that we agree with the Scripture, that our testimony agrees with the testimony of the Scripture, and that our doctrine agrees with the doctrine of the apostles, 100%. Then something would be to say, outwardly, we see, of course, the things going on before our eyes. In Germany, we have 11 churches who are now uniting to acknowledge their different baptisms to one another, inasmuch as it was done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter where it was administered. If it was only done according to the Roman baptismal creed, then it is being acknowledged by the Roman Church. Then we have here the hint that Abbas wants to talk with the Pope about the Middle East peace process. Then we have Bushkamps, and his main request will be in his June journey, a visit of the Pope. We have here a large number of important announcements which are all taking their course, but we will not go today into details. But this must be said now. If everything is very busy now to bring Bible prophecy to fulfillment, that the uniting under Rome is taking place, as we are told in Bible prophecy, especially in the prophet Daniel and in the book of Revelation, what shall then be with the bride church of Jesus Christ if everything else is really internationally running so much on high speed, busy to bring Bible prophecy to fulfillment? Is then God not busy with us to bring us as the church into the word of the hour according to the will of God? Brothers and sisters, the uniting of the bride church of Jesus Christ under Christ, the head of the church, is the command of the hour. And we all really, we have to leave our own doctrines behind, and we must believe as the scripture says. In the church of Jesus Christ, everybody can eat and drink what he likes. That's how it is written in Romans chapter 14. He who likes to eat strong meat, let him eat it. He who likes to eat vegetables, let him eat it. That's right. In the natural, everyone can decide for himself, but not in the doctrine, not in the spiritual. It's impossible. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we have to be brought back to the beginning, and this with all our hearts, without all our souls, not under force. But God has to give us a willing heart by His grace, that we are not submitting into it out of necessity, but that we have an inner agreement to everything what God said to us in His Word. And we believe it with all our hearts. So, we have the following task. Firstly, to preach the true word of God. Secondly, connected with it, the promises which God gave us, to put it upon the lampstand. And then, to submit ourselves to God in obedience to the word. The trouble with Israel is the trouble with us. Namely, the obedience of faith to walk in the ways of God, to please Him. I would like to read some scriptures, and I believe that they will speak to us. The first one from Moses, namely, Numbers 27. Here, Moses is laying hands on Joshua and obligates him to the word which God gave by revelation on the Holy Mount. And also we have a holy obligation to pass on the word which God revealed in purity, to pass it on. Numbers 27. From verse 18, and the Lord commanded unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Here we have the first laying on of hands, which is reported to us in the Holy Scripture. And lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And commission him before the priest, before the congregation. Commission him. All shall see it. All shall hear it. All shall witness it. Verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient unto him. Now what now? Being obedient to Joshua. Joshua had the word which God revealed to Moses. He had it in the Ark of the Covenant. And he laid it upon the shoulders of the priests. And Moses received the promise. And Joshua saw the fulfillment of the promise by his grace. And with the people which let themselves be circumcised, then he experienced the going in into the promised land. That the whole congregation of Israel may be obedient unto him. Verse 21. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. We all know what the Urim and Tumim was. It was the breastplate. The breastplate which Aaron was wearing with the 12 stones. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, and if somebody said something, a revelation or a dream or whatever it was, if it came from God and if it was right, then these 12 stones were flashing, and with this God was confirming by the light which was shining that the thing is from him and that it is right. If it remained dark, then God was not in the matter. Is it not the same today? The Word of God is a light on our way. It illuminates us the way. So, one should ask the Lord God, what are we doing here? Do we ask a man? Do we ask a prophet? No! We are asking God. And his answer comes to us from the Word of God. Let us read the last two verses. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. Oh, This is powerful. Brothers and sisters, to do what the Lord commands. And you all know, no servant of the Lord can do something of himself. It must be said to him, and it can only be done upon the instruction which Lord gives. As Brother Keller told us, he read us from Psalm 123, how the eyes of the maid were looking to her mistress to receive the instruction. So we are looking upon the Lord to receive instruction, and only then we can do everything as the Lord commanded us. It continues, and he took Joshua, because this the Lord commanded. It's written in 18, and the Lord commanded Moses. This was not the decision of Moses, but it was the decision of the Lord, that that man, who from now on has the responsibility for the revealed word, that this man is being blessed, that the hands are laid upon him, and that he before all the congregation is being ordained, so that the whole congregation understands that here is a man that here a man acts according to the commission of God. Then, in the last verse, and he laid his hands upon him and commissioned him as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. How often did we speak here at this place about the divine plan of salvation, about the order? God has a creation order, and God has an order in his plan of salvation. God has a church order. From God, everything was placed in a certain order, and we understood what the promise includes, that God would send a prophet. And you may ask, why a prophet? Scribes have their interpretation, and they cannot stand before God. They do not help the people. They just hinder us. And therefore, God had to send a prophet in this prophetic age, because thus it is written in Amos 3, verse 7, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The prophets received instructions from God. Noah received instruction from God. Moses received instructions from God. Do everything according to the pattern which I will show you on the Holy Mount. You can also read it in Hebrews in chapter 8, that Moses did everything according to the pattern as he was shown on the Holy Mount. Joshua did according to the word of the Lord. Elijah did according to the word of the Lord. Time and again, it was done what God commanded, what God said. We all know. The New Testament starts, of course, with the fulfillment of the promises, that God brings the plan of salvation to reality. In the Old Testament, all the announcements. In the New Testament, their fulfillment. Somebody was asking me not long time ago whether it is necessary to believe that God in our time has given a ministry. Brothers and sisters, the faith of the true children of God is, of course, the faith as the scripture says. Everything else has nothing to do with a true faith at all. And this also must be said here. All churches have the right to believe what they believe and to teach what they teach. But the church has only the divine right, not one's own right, only the divine right. Because by the church and by the various ministries, the will of God shall take place here on this earth. And concerning the plan of salvation, so we recognize very clearly that God at first gave promises, and then he fulfills them by his grace. If John the Baptist would not have been a promised prophet, but just someone, then all could have bypassed him. But he was a man sent from God with the message of God to make the bridge from the Old to the New Testament. And therefore it is written in Luke 16:16, that Moses and all the prophets were prophesying until John. And from that time on, the kingdom of God is being preached. And he who uses force, he is pressing into it. By sleeping, no one enters the kingdom of God. We must be born into it. By the word and spirit, being born into it, receiving new life, receiving eternal life by his grace, by the faith in Jesus Christ, and by faith in his finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And by this, and as the way of obedience, as the way of obedience of the Lamb of God ended on the cross, and as it was leading to victory, so our way of obedience starts when we are crucified with Christ. When the own I is no more here, as we looked at it, not my will, but thy will be done. And so, we have to make use of this time, really to redeem this time. As the scripture says it, redeem the time, for the time is evil. Now, concerning the judging of a ministry, which God promised, and which he has given to the church, we always have to recognize, as it was with Moses, he had a ministry given by God for the church, and at first was connected to it the leading out, let my people go, let my son go. Result was the church. Exodus chapter 12. In the chapters before, let my son go, let my people go. And after the Exodus, the son and the people were the church. The church of the living God, under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. God needs a church on the earth to reveal himself in it and to manifest his plan of salvation and to bring his plan through the church to fulfillment. In 2 Titus, we read Titus chapter 2 from verse 11, Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. But not all men are accepting salvation, and this is the big trouble. It continues, verse 12 in Titus 2, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm not judging now, but It's of course almost 2 years ago when that brother in the USA told me that in the church it is commonly accepted that once a week the young people go to the movies. And I thought, the lightning strikes me. I never heard this in my life. I never heard it. I'm more than 50 years a believer. I never thought to go to a theater somewhere. Brothers and sisters, one can even say, I believe the message. One can confess everything with the lips. But where's your heart? Where are your thoughts? A renewing must have taken place. The world is passing away with its lusts. Only he who does the will of God, he remains forever. Here we are reading it. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worthless. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. People who are waiting for the return of the Lord, they of course don't go to a James Bond movie or whatever. People, be it young or old, or young people, let it be said to you, if you really experienced the grace of God, then you are taken out of the world, and the world was taken out from you, and you are transferred into the kingdom of God. This is a divine fact. A conversion means to come out of the world and to be transferred into the kingdom of God. Then it continues, verse 14 of our Lord and Savior, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. This is the purpose of God with the church. To have a church without spot and without wrinkle. We are living very, very normally in this world. And we thank God that He has called us out. We are going to work. We are living a totally normal life. And we don't stand out at all. No, also not at work. As a believer, one doesn't have to behave in such a way that others are shaking their heads, but rather like this, that others are asking one moment, why is he not like we are? Also here, one has to ask God to give him the grace to do so. Now, to that what concerns us in a special way, a ministry which God has given, as with Joshua, as with Moses, has to be received and accepted by the church. If somebody says, yes, there was a William Branham, and this is not enough. One has to know that a divine commission was given, and that with this commission, the church, the calling out, is experiencing. My Lord, as John the Baptist was the preparer of the way, and as it is written, so that all might believe through him. by one man. But the one man, a man sent from God. And this is the important thing. The same way we know by the ministry of Brother Branham, the church was brought back to the beginning, to the doctrines as they were at the beginning, about Godhead, about baptism, about Lord's Supper, about the resurrection, first and second coming, about all the Bible subjects. And then, also this has to be said. It is very sad when brothers are taking certain statements out of context. And out of this they make a doctrine which just cannot stand. I think in the moment, on the last questions, on my per email, how long are the 70 weeks of Daniel? Yes, all right. 483 years. That's all right. But the command went forth in the year 445 before Christ and was fulfilled exactly in April of the year 33. And then the 483 years were fulfilled. For this, I don't need to call somebody who calculates the thing for me. But here's the point. The church has nothing to do with the 70 weeks. It's all together only, they only apply for the people of Israel. And only therein the four kingdoms are described. The first one, the second one, the third one, and the fourth one. And then we are told the fourth kingdom will devour the whole earth and will break it into pieces. Then all the details are being, we are told. We are told about the 7 weeks, about the 62 weeks, and this made 69 weeks. And just as 1 week has 7 days, so the weeks have 7 years. And so everything was fulfilled unto the day, perfectly fulfilled. And it's written that after the 62 weeks, the Messiah would be sentenced to death, and Christ died for us. This was the fulfillment. And then 1 week is left, namely the last 7 years, which are divided in the middle. One time for the ministry of the two prophets, and the other time for the great tribulation. But nothing of the 70 weeks of Daniel are applying to the church, but only the political realm with the following kingdoms. And then Israel, as it happened already then, in between is the time for the New Testament church. And then, at the end, at around the rapture of the church, comes the covenant of Rome and Israel. And then, the last week starts. This is very crystal clear. Written in this book, there, I don't need to read 783 pages to get this explained. This is very clear. But then there are brothers who make such an argument and strife of it, are splitting churches because the one teaches that and the other one teaches that. And the enemy is busy to bring discord into the church. So, let us distinguish very clearly which ministry was given to the church. Always for the upbuilding, always for the edifying of the church. Never connected to a know-it-all, but always with a full respect before God and the Word of God. If brothers lose the respect before the Word, then they come with all kinds of special doctrines and are splitting the church. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, and I say it all over the earth, the moment has come where we cannot believe and follow any brother anymore, not running after any special revelation, but where we just seeking and finding the unity of the Spirit in God, being settled in the Word, in full agreement with the Old and New Testament. Concerning the ministries, there's a wonderful word written in Hebrews. Hebrews, here we have the comparison with our Lord and also with Moses. In Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 5 and 6, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This verse one could read in every service. It was not only about all the sacrifices which were given, meal offerings, drink offerings, all the various offerings, sacrifices, but altogether, it was about the revelation which was hidden therein. And then we have the word from 1 Peter, who tells us even today that these men in the Old Testament were searching to what kind of time it will be, when it will be, when that what was revealed to the prophets, when it will find fulfillment. Here, 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets were prophesying of the grace. We have experienced the grace. The law came through Moses. The grace and truth came by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Of the grace that should come unto you, they prophesied, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating. And then we're told about his sufferings. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Also what Isaiah prophesied. It took 800 years until the prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah 53 was a prophecy. And then came the fulfillment. And this is here the crowning of that, what Peter gives here in the summary. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Prophets announced, they prophesied, apostles, the fulfillment of promises, they connected it with the prophecies, and they proved that everything what was announced, that it found fulfillment by His grace. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing today? We don't have one single interpretation. But we have the word of prophecy. We have the Old and the New Testament. And we have the total, the complete agreement of the Old and of the New Testament. And we are rejoicing that God counted us worthy to let us look into His plan of salvation. And even more, to include us into His plan of salvation, to have part in that, what God is doing right now. If somebody tells me that God is in all the charismatic programs and meetings, then I cannot believe it. Then I can just not believe it. God is only in His Word. And God acts by the ministries which He has given to the church, only in His will, by every ministry which God has given on the earth, the will of God, the plan of God came to realization here on this earth. Even the ministries in the New Testament, in the church, they were of course given for the purpose that the will of God is being preached here on earth, and that the will of God here on earth takes place, and that the church finally becomes the manifestation place of the Almighty God here on this earth, so that the confirmation of the word doesn't have to wait any longer, but that we can witness and experience it by His grace. And then Peter continues, after he spoke of the prophets, which prophesied what would happen, and of the ministry, which they didn't carry out for themselves, but which they carried out for us, who we became believers, and that the men were filled by the Holy Spirit, endued with the power from on high, and we are preaching unto us things into which even angels desired to look into. This is powerful. Brothers and sisters, how often shall we say it? There was really no time period on this earth where everything was revealed in such a wonderful way by the Spirit of God. And everything is in a wonderful harmony. And then Peter continues in verse 13, Wherefore? Because this is like that. Because that what was announced, because it was fulfilled, and because prophets prophesied, and because apostles confirmed, He's repeating verse 12. And then it says, Wherefore? Because this is like that. Because we receive the connection to the working of God. Because we get the connection to the working of God. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And put your hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where can you put your hope on? Upon you? Upon a man? No. Alone upon the grace of God, which was given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we are told that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then back to verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brothers and sisters, the word holy means separated, being dedicated, consecrated to God. For instance, all the vessels in the temple were holy vessels. They were separated for that purpose, to fulfill a special task in the service. You are not you did not become holy by God's grace because you shall be something special, but because God has a place for you in the church, and we all have to become saints of the Lord. You all know, in the Old Testament, the priests were consecrated. They had to stand, and then they were anointed, and by this they were consecrated to the Lord and ordained. And we as the church, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, we have to be baptized by one Spirit into one body, where it doesn't say anything of Greek or Jews or barbarians as written, but that we are one in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then, as I mentioned, we have, of course, not only the task to preach time and again the Bible doctrines and to put them into practice, and we are, of course, not arguing about it. We're not arguing about Godhead, not about baptism, about no Bible subject is being argued about. Bible subjects are just being proclaimed. And whoever is of God heareth the words of God. Let me read this to you from the Gospel of John. And this one can actually present in every sermon from John chapter 8. Firstly, from verse 37, John 8, verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Just imagine, 4,000 years waiting for the Messiah, the only hope of Israel for redemption, for the kingdom of God, for everything what means hope. And then the referring to Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. And then the Lord says, why do you seek to kill me? If you are the descendants of Abraham, and you know what is written, before Abraham was, I am. John 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The great I am. From the Old Testament, the Lord. The Lord. Yahweh. And somebody was writing me in an email, Brother Frank, you are in error when you say Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. No, and again, no. The same Lord in the Old and New Testament, the same. The same who spoke to Abraham, who was sitting down with Abraham, and who was eating with Abraham. The same who gave all the promises, and who was watching over it, so that they find fulfillment. And as we can also read from Hebrews 6, he confirmed it by an oath. But let me read this verse once again. John 8, verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. This is the big trouble. The word has no place in the people. They can say, I belong to this church, I belong to that church, church of the full gospel. And if the word has no place, what then? Then God speaks and we don't hear it. We have to open our hearts. And the word of God has to touch our hearts. What good is the referring to Christ and to the apostles if we don't receive the word into us? Because only the word is the truth. And only the truth makes free. And then, it says also here, in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Why not? Abraham understood. Abraham believed. Why did they not understand? Why did they not believe? Brothers and sisters, even the understanding which God opens us for the scripture is a gift. It's a gift of grace of our God. If it is written, he opened unto them the understanding for the scripture, then this has a very big meaning. He opened unto them the understanding for the scripture. Once again, verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. They didn't even want to listen. They were not ready to listen. The same it is with many who are judging the message. They don't even listen properly. Also concerning the sermons of Brother Branham, some are taking this and that out of context, and they say, oh, what did he teach here? And instead of reading what is written before, instead of reading what is written after that, to understand the subject he deals now, to understand it in the right light and context. Brothers and sisters, it's really a great grace if we can sit down at the feet of Jesus and as Mary, hearing his words, receiving it by faith and getting it revealed. Then, verse 46, here it says once again, who of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. It's a hard saying. The seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. And this brings us again to Galatians, the very well-known word, Galatians 4, verse 28. Galatians 4, verse 28. Here we have the descendants of Abraham in two groups split up, Ishmael and Isaac. And here it is written in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Again, the term promise. Promises are the Alpha and Omega of the divine preaching. Now to Galatians, chapter 6. Recently, we looked at it already. Hebrews, chapter 6, from verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, time and again promise. Faith is anchored in the promise. Without promise, there's no faith at all. There's only an imagination, but no faith. Faith and promise belong together. Once again, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Was it necessary for God to swear? No. But so that we know, so that we really know finally that God not only spoke, but that he confirmed the spoken things with an oath. Confirmed it by an oath. He swore by himself, by his holiness, he swore that that what he said and promised, that it will find fulfillment. That no one and nothing can change something about it. God is above everything. And that what he said happens. For he could not swear by himself. He swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. We all know the Lord God spoke to Abraham time and again. And always it were promises and again promises of blessings. And Abraham believed God, and he saw the promise fulfilled, which was given to him at the time, in reference to Isaac. The same it is with us. We believe what God promised. This can start with the salvation of the soul. In the Old Testament, the promise, who forgiveth thee all thy sins, and who healeth all thy diseases. In the New Testament, the fulfillment on the cross of Calvary, redemption, reconciliation, grace, and salvation was given to mankind by God. Today, we see the promise fulfilled. And therefore, time and again, the admonition, today, if you hear his voice, it doesn't matter about what the apostles were writing. It was always about the salvation of the soul, about the preparation of the church unto the glorious day of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the gospel, everything is included. Then it continues from verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Also you and I, we can do nothing but to endure patiently. You have need of patience. You have need of patience so that you might receive the promise after you have done the will of God. Let us be honest. Paul was already counting with the return of the Lord. All the prophets in the Old Testament were announced and announced. In the New Testament, the promise was given. John 14, I go to prepare the place for you, and I will come again. And then, Luke 24, verse 50, the Lord was raising his hands, and he blessed his disciples, and he was taken up into heaven. And then, Acts 1, verse 11, the two angels said, this same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall return in like manner. This was the hope, the expectation. And this was the expectation of all the believers during all of the 2,000 years. And in every new revival which God gave, the return of Jesus Christ was put upon the lampstand. And why? It says, of course, in every church age message, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Not only the last church age message from of our time, but in all the seven church age messages to the overcomers, the promise is given to inherit all things. But the promise of the return of Jesus Christ was alive at all times, in every revival, in all the believers who at their time received the working of God and who had part in that what God has done. But for us, God again took care of us. And He truly, as already said so many times, in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, in Luke 21, He said, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. We truly are the first generation which sees Bible prophecy in its fulfillment and witnesses it. To us, the word was directly addressed. When you see these things coming to pass, then look up, then lift up your heads. And therefore, the last call didn't sound forth before us, but now, ye my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Not only evangelization, but teaching. The word of God shall go forth from Jerusalem, and teaching from Mount Zion. The word went forth from Jerusalem, and the teaching went forth from Mount Zion. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was in Jerusalem, was on Mount Zion. And as we said many times, the first sermon must be as the last one was, and the last must be as the first was, and the last baptism must be as the first was. The last conversion must be the way as the first conversion was. The last new birth must be as the first was. Everything back to the beginning. That we experience God in all His fullness. And by this are being found in the presence of God, in the faith and in obedience to His word, so that He can fulfill what He promised, that He can fulfill it with us by His grace. Let us read verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of His counsel. This I like very much. The unchangeableness of His counsel. He confirmed it by an oath, as a surety. He confirmed it with an oath. As a surety. Job, you all know, Job had to go through much trouble. And one day, he came to the point and he said, he spoke of the surety of the Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He spoke of the surety who would step in for him. Here it is written, Job 33, from verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, a mediator, an advocate, one among a thousand. Yes, our Lord is the nicest of 10,000. He the mediator and He the advocate. And then it continues. To show unto man His uprightness. Then He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, an atonement for him. Is this not wonderful? I have found a ransom for him. Then his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. And then it says here in verse 29, lo, all these things worketh God two or three times with man to bring back his soul from the pit. God speaks to every man two or three times. And then it's being fulfilled what is written in verse 28. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Old and New Testament are connected to one another. Here in Job 19, it's written in verse 23, Job 19, verse 23, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize of what it's all about. It is about that the church is acquainted with what God planned, what he decided, what he promised. Then it is about that we believe it, that we don't answer back to God, but that we believe what he said, so that the preached things can be revealed to us, so that he can open our understanding for the scripture. And then it's also about that all the doctrines which are not in agreement with the scripture, that they are truly being rejected, that absolutely no mixing can take place anymore, that no interpretation can have place anymore. Somebody sent me an email and he asked me whether I agree to the doctrine of the two souls. Yes, I heard of it, yes. But the Holy Scripture says in Genesis 2, verse 7, and man became a living soul. And the Bible says that our spirit, soul, and body shall be preserved at the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of it, that our soul shall be saved. The Bible speaks of the soul, not of two souls. If people are tossed to and fro, then God wants to claim the man, and Satan doesn't want to let him go, and then goes to and fro. But it's always about the one soul. And the Holy Scripture says it to us. Ezekiel 18 and other places, the soul that sinneth shall die. And therefore, we were redeemed to be taken out from the sin of unbelief. Because our Lord says in John 8, verse 24, if you don't believe that I am he, then ye shall die in your sin. The sin is the unbelief. With this everything started. And unbelief was followed by the transgression and by the fall. And the separation from God was there. And therefore, our Lord poured out his soul in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the agony of the soul about you and my soul, about you and my life. It happened for us. And I tell you, the Lord was victorious. He was victorious. He was victorious, and his victory is our victory. And the faith is the victory which has overcome the world. The biblical faith. So, all can become believers. All can get saved. It all depends about faith. Whoever believes today, the Holy Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. With this, everything starts. And then, whoever believes in Him, as the Scripture says, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living waters. So, not a single doctrine anymore, which is not in agreement with the Bible. If somebody teaches, for instance, the Lord did come already, such a man is of a corrupt mind. He doesn't even know what he says, because the Holy Scripture testifies what will happen at the return of Jesus Christ, namely that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then nobody can tell me in Chambersburg, Virginia, in the USA, he told me, the graves were the dead denominations, and we came forth from the dead denominations, and this is the first resurrection. Such a man is of a corrupt mind. I could just tell him, please bring me to the airport. Please bring me to the airport. Yes. And these are then people who refer to Brother Branham, but who do not know God. We need people who know God, who know Jesus Christ personally, who have received a connection to God. And we are just grateful for that, that the Lord has kept us in a clear mind to preach the pure word of God. You all know in Acts chapter 20, the main concern of the Apostle Paul was what would happen with the church after his going home. He called all the elders together. He committed himself to them. I can read it to you in Acts chapter 20. And here we see how it was upon his heart that the church is being kept. Here, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. You all know, he continued his speech. He was breaking bread. He was celebrating the Lord's Supper. And now it went via Samos. And then it says in verse 17, of Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, you see, he is the concern of a servant of God who was placed into the church by the will of God, called by the will of God, not only to be an elder in a local church, but to have a task for the universal church. And then he lined out, and he says here, in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Everything what is profitable for your salvation, what supports and assists the church, what brings you closer to the Lord. Everything I was teaching publicly and from house to house. And then it continues, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So, not only to teach, conversion to God, conversion to Jesus Christ, be it Jews or Gentiles, just to show it to them, to lay it to their hearts. And then, bound in the Spirit, he of course traveled to Jerusalem. And he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry, the task to carry out the commission which God has given me for the church to fulfill it. This was his wish. This he said to the elders, that they, as men who were appointed by God, that they should watch over the flock, that they should remain in the word as they heard it. And then we read in verse 25, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He himself was in the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God, and he was teaching what belongs to it. And then he said in verse 26, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What a powerful testimony. Not guilty of any man who gets lost. He day and night was preaching publicly and from house to house, preaching repentance, preaching that they should, that the people should turn to God. He was not guilty of any death, not guilty of anyone who bypassed redemption. What did I tell you recently, brothers and sisters? Also in my vow, which I gave to the Lord, that I wanted to preach the word of God in truth, and with all those who heard it from my mouth, that I want to see them in glory, that no one of them is missing who heard God's word from my lips. That we all would experience the preparation upon this wonderful day. Now, verse 27. Actually, one should read up to verse 30. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What did we do? Did we preach bits and pieces? Or did we declare all the counsel of God? Did we not include the evangelistic part, the teaching part, the prophetic part? Did we not include everything what is written in the Old and New Testament? Yes, we can say with Paul, together with Paul, we can say, we preached unto you all the counsel of God. Please permit me, at the time of the Apostle Paul, the book of Revelation, the 22 chapters were not even written. He preached the counsel of God at that time, inasmuch as it was revealed. Today, brothers and sisters, just understand it once with a thankful heart. Today, We have all the counsel of God. Everything. Everything. And by the Holy Spirit, we can be introduced into the whole counsel. And blessed is the man who hears it and believes it and who gets it revealed by God. Then, in verse 28, addressed to the elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Whom the Holy Ghost has made overseers, placed into the church, placed into the flock, over which the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, we are experiencing the working of the Holy Ghost. God appoints under the leading of the Holy Spirit, made you overseers to feed the church of God. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. This is our task. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, how precious is the word of our God. How wonderful is all of the counsel. Now, as written, please pay attention now, that you feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The blood-bought flock, the true church of Jesus Christ. Not church so-and-so, but the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. There God places the ministries. There God works by the Holy Spirit according to his word. And then comes, of course, also the admonition and warning in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Yes, this happened at that time, and it happens in our time. And the mark or characteristic is that all who are presenting wrong teachings, that they are binding people to themselves, are binding them to their revelations, and are saying openly, if you don't believe this, then you are not a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, not special revelations, but the special revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord has to be given to us by his grace, and then we belong to those to whom the Lord can speak. And then we are hearing his words, and we believe it, and we get them revealed by the Spirit. And finally, we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are the pardoned people of God. We are the blood-bought flock. We believe the promises. We see the scripture fulfilled before our eyes. And we are lifting up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near. I'm asking you, what could have God done more than what he did? To really lead us so deep into his word, into his plan of salvation. Not people were teaching us. The Holy Ghost was leading us into all the truth. We experienced it personally. And all who did not yet experience it, they can experience it tonight. We don't want to only have preached the word of God. Today, we want to experience and witness that people are converted, that people receive revelation, that God's Spirit reigns and rules tonight in our midst, and that no one leaves this place not being blessed. The Lord God bless us. May He be with us. May He keep us in His grace and in His word. To Him, the only God, be the praise now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us sing the chorus, which we sang many times, Just as I am. So wie ich bin, so muss es sein, nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm. Singen wir noch, glaube nur, glaube nur. Glaube nur, glaube nur. Alles ist möglich, nur glaube nur. Glaube nur, glaube nur. Alles ist möglich, doch glaube nur. Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier. Alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier, alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier. Dazu sagen wir Amen.
To this we say Amen. We have heard it in the sermons of Brother Branham, and we witnessed it, that the presence of God was confirmed. People got saved. They got delivered. They got healed. Demons had to flee. Sometimes dark powers are binding people, but the Lord has come to set the captives free. That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. And that's how our Lord repeated it in Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year of deliverance. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, today we have the same gospel, and the Spirit of God rests upon us. Today, the Spirit of God rules tonight in our midst. God spoke to all of us. For each one was something in the Word of God, be it in the Old or New Testament. In every scripture was something for you and for me, for us. And a word now to all who did not yet experience God personally, who do not have yet the assurance of salvation, not the assurance of having become God's own possession, a true conversion, a conversion to Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. We will all bow our heads. We will remain in silent prayer. And I would like to ask, who is ready to dedicate his life to the Lord? Really? To hand it over to the Lord? Just saying, Dear Lord, you love me so much. You redeemed me. You called me by my name. I'm coming now. I'm coming as a lost son. I'm coming as a lost daughter. Receive me. Accept me. And then it's being fulfilled. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. And in his name, remission of sins should be preached to all men. Luke 24, verse 47, and other places. And today is the remission and reconciliation was preached. You may now receive it. Each one may receive it personally. Who would like to raise his hand to confirm, to accept it? We are all bowing our heads. We are opening our hearts. God bless. God bless. Hands are all over. Our Lord is still on the throne of grace as mediator, as the high priest, who forgiveth thee all thy sins and who healeth all thy diseases. God will not always strive. He will not always be angry. He forgives transgression and does not remember sin anymore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dem Lamme Gottes. Hallelujah. Dem Lamme Gottes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God for the redemption by the blood. Dear Lord, we pray for all who raised their hands. Be merciful to them. May they now experience that their conversion takes place and that they are being pardoned. And I thank you that it has happened. Your Spirit rules in our midst. You are present. Together we are glorifying the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank thee for your presence. Your promises have become true. You are our Savior, and we thank thee once again for the redemption, for the forgiveness, for the grace, and for the salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gelobt und gepriesen.
Blessed and praised be the Lord our God, who forgiveth thee all thy sins and who has healed all thy diseases.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, now we want to pray for all, praying for all who have a request concerning their bodies, who have a trouble in their bodies. Doesn't matter what it might be. You all know God promised to give and to do beyond what we can ask or do. And our Lord says, even today, the works that I did, ye shall do likewise. And greater works than these shall ye do. It's a command. It's a promise of our Lord. And then again, as the Son of God said, so we are also saying, not I'm the one who does these works, but the Father who is in me, he is doing his works. Dear Lord, We alone, we will give you alone the glory. To you alone, we will give the praise and the adoration. You are Savior. You are the healer. Go now through our midst and glorify thy name. Confirm thy holy word by healings, by signs and wonders in our midst.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Großer Gott.
Great God. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, as written in Mark 16, and the Lord confirmed the word by signs and wonders following. As written in Acts chapter 4, Lord, give to thy servants boldness to preach thy word and confirm it by mighty signs and wonders. We are not people who are running after signs and wonders. We are people who are following Jesus Christ. And as the Lord said himself, these signs shall follow them. They will accompany them. Precious Lord, we believe together that you are present tonight. That you touch every spot in the body. That you give healing by your grace. Blessed and praised. Blessed and praised. Be thou, Lord our God. We pray now for all who would like to receive revelation from God, who believe his word and promises, and who would like to get the word revealed with all the promises. And as the risen Lord and Savior did at that time, and as he walked with his own, and as he revealed himself to his own, and as he shared the word with them, and as he opened the understanding for the scripture, so the Lord is now walking in our midst. He's walking with us. He speaks with us. And as sure as he speaks with us, so sure he opens unto us the understanding for the scripture. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it by faith. And thank God. And thank God. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singen wir noch gemeinsam.
Let us sing. We give all the glory to Jesus.
Geben die Ehre nur Jesus und verkünden seine Liebe. Und verkünden seine Liebe. Wir geben die Ehre nur Jesus und verkünden seine herrliche Liebe. Und noch einmal, wir geben die Ehre nur Jesus und verkünden seine Liebe. Und verkünden seine Liebe. Wir geben die Ehre nur Jesus und verkünden seine herrliche Liebe. Du bist würdig, du bist würdig, du bist würdig, du bist würdig, o Herr, hinzunehmen. Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung, du Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Seine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Und alles Volk sage Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated. Bitte.